Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Rolling Stone magazine reported today that Neil Young, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young fame, and you know, Rockin' in the Free World fame, has filed suit against Donald Trump and the Trump campaign for playing Rockin' in the Free World and the Devil's Sidewalk song at his rallies. And I love the, you know, what he said. Look, he said, in good conscience, I can't allow my music to be used as the theme song for a divisive, un-American campaign of ignorance and hate. And good on Neil. Look, I love the songs, but good on him for speaking out. Because after all, what does he care? He's Canadian. If I were him, I'd be back in Canada. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on what's going on, the big news of the day from North Carolina, the convention coming up, the secret convention. I've asked our good friend Ted Corcoran to come talk with us. Ted is famously known as Red T Raccoon on Twitter. He's also a disabled veteran and advocate for veterans. Ted, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me. Rick, you get me laughing every single time I'm about to come on. Neil Young in Canada just had me chuckling for a second. I guess we all need a laugh nowadays, huh?
Yeah, look, yeah, the truth is what it is, man. If I'm Neil Young, I'm getting out of here. The virus is bad. I'm sure you know it. You're in North Carolina. In fact, It's so bad that the Republicans are going to have their nomination in secret.
Imagine that. You know, it's they love getting in front of their press, but you know, when something like this happens, they're going to try to go and hide it. Yeah, it's an interesting situation. The back and forth. Believe me, I wish they weren't here and they stuck to Florida, but I feel bad for Florida. I don't want to pass that problem off to them. Just ridiculous. And I think I hope that it's nice and calm. I hope that they don't turn this into a Chicago. They don't turn this into a situation where they're fanning the flames that are happening across our country and to my home state in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's especially in this moment because we still are in the middle of a global pandemic, and North Carolina's got some problems like everyone else. You're doing better than Florida, but still, you know, there's a big concern.
Yeah, there is, and I mean, we're having problems as it is. We're trying to go and keep things under control, at least in my county and a lot of the areas around here. Schools are not opening, but this is actually a reoccurring thing in North Carolina. So Trump and Pence both came here last week. I think that they see the tide is turning really badly for them in North Carolina, and they're trying drastically to go and do anything they can to go and show themselves. Right. And I'm sure this isn't the last time that we see Trump or Pence sticking their nose in North Carolina over the next couple months.
Oh, Pennsylvania as well. They were here in the state. You know, Pence was here the last week. And it was like, why? Because, you know, look, if things, the trend continues to go the way I see it going, and I'm really hoping it does, because I think the country needs a cleansing. I see this being a huge, huge landslide victory for Biden, but more than just a victory for Biden, as a repudiation of everything that Trump stands for.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And you hit it right in the head before I jumped on. We can talk about impeachment. We can talk about him quitting. This country needs an overwhelming victory against him and everything that he stands for and his toxic policies and his agendas that he's brought upon us. And I think, I mean, the only way that we can really do that is voting.
I was saying that when it wasn't popular. Yeah. When everyone say, no, he's going to resign, no, we're going to impeach him, going, the Senate's never going to impeach him, and there's no way in hell his ego is going to ever allow him to resign. He's got to be beaten, and he's got to be beaten soundly.
Yep, definitely. And we have, what, less than 90 days now to go and start making that a reality. So I'm telling everybody, make sure, I mean, most of the people that like we speak to are registered to vote. Make sure that you're still registered to vote. Make sure that you're still able to go and do that, because we know that there's been a lot of cleansing in regards to these voter registration files. And bring a friend. I'm telling you, if you're talking about it to your friends, you're talking about it with your family, bring them with you.
Yeah.
Drive people to the polls. I know it's tough with social distancing. Vote by mail. Go and do the absentee ballots. Do them early. Get it taken care of. We don't want any question in this election. And Trump's trying to raise those questions right now.
No, absolutely. But here's the thing. Stacey Abrams came out today. I'm sure you saw this, where she said, you know, don't expect a result on election night. And this is going to be a huge shift for us in this country. And I've said for years, I think it's ridiculous that that you know within 5 minutes of the polls closing, you know, we want to know who won. Whereas in other countries, they actually count the ballots. I'm of the mindset I'm okay if it takes a couple of days, as long as we get it right.
Yeah, the instant gratification that like Americans have is that we have to have it. We have to have it now. It's That's right. I would rather have it done right than have it done quickly and have it wrong. And especially now, just they're already raising the questions in regards to this. We need to make sure that it's completely legit. And this is a big thing that everyone's bringing up right now. We need poll workers. If you really believe in democracy and you want to go and defend democracy, the best way of doing that is participating and being a poll worker.
And it's not hard to do.
No. And they'll train you, believe me. And we're working on that right now in North Carolina, is making sure that we have enough poll workers, because that's just going to magnify our ability to go and get people in and out in a quick pace. Because I think that's my fear, is what we saw in Georgia, is these huge, massively long lines of people waiting hours to go and vote. We don't want that. We want to make sure that people have that opportunity to go and, you know.
Isn't that nuts? I mean, you know, in the most powerful, most innovative country in the history of civilization, in the wealthiest country in the history of civilization, we're still doing this. I mean, it's really just crazy to me that there isn't a better system, that we haven't devised a way to ensure that everyone gets in and out. We can do this voting thing in a couple of minutes. I mean, it's really crazy to me.
Yeah, but you know what? It is crazy, but it's understandable, because it's not in the best interest of one of the parties. We know that there's a lot of low-wage workers that don't have the ability to wait in line for hours. We have people with families. We have the working class that can't afford to go and take a whole day off of work in order to go and wait in line for 6 hours to go to vote. It's absolutely insane. That's why, like, I'm always for, like, the national holiday. I don't want to like stir up a whole bunch of controversy, but you know, switching out Columbus Day to go and have a voting holiday would be great for the American public.
No, I think we should have a whole weekend. Look, if Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate could take a long weekend while families are worried about losing their homes and not being able to put food on the table as they've gone over the unemployment cliff, we could take a long weekend, have off, go vote, have celebrations around the idea of voting, actually make this, you know, make it, you know, kind of a 4th of July type party weekend where, you know, hey, we're going to go vote and celebrate democracy and celebrate self-rule and self-governance. It's going to be great. We can even wear, you know, powdered wigs and whatever the hell else you want.
Exactly. You know what? And it's funny you mention that, because I brought that up a couple times in the last elections, is make it a party. You know what? Everyone go and vote. And when you get done, go and celebrate the fact that you did your commitment as far as being a citizen. Because in our government, everyone does have a role within our whole entire system. And as a citizen, your role is to vote. You're the foundation of our democracy when it comes to this. Like, your voice really does matter at the end of the day. And I know that that's really tough to see. And I know that's really, it's discouraging with what's happened in the past. But that's all by design, too. It's constantly discouraging people from using their vote to go and elicit change that we desperately need.
It's crazy. I also wanted to get your thoughts. I know you guys are getting battered by the hurricane down there. Everything okay? Everyone safe and well?
In my family, we are. Like, it passed through really, really quickly. Unfortunately, the hurricane spun off a few tornadoes, and I think we had a couple people die near the coast. It's just the nature of these things.
Isn't this early?
It really is. Like, and I was actually like talking to my wife about that too. I mean, we're already up to eyes, And I think if I'm right, there's probably about like 3 or 4 months still left in hurricane season.
Now, are we there yet? Did we get to hurricane season yet? I wasn't even sure we were
just
in it yet.
And I'm not a meteorologist, so like someone's probably going to go and correct me, but I think we probably just started not too long ago. But it does. They always say that it's like we're at a record pace in regards to the storms coming through.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up, Ted, is because, you know, as the climate change happens, as we fail to respond to it, not only is weather going to get much more severe and we're going to have, you know, chaos and disaster because of that, you know, they're talking more virus. They're talking more, you know, who knows what down the road. And we're not handling this one well. You know,
no.
So the fact that we've continued to drop the ball on this, there seems to be no leadership whatsoever and for this one, let alone another one. I'm obviously concerned about where we are as not just a country, but as a planet.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot to unpack in regards to that. So I think the first issue is we're almost like they're talking about how we have to do something in regards to climate change almost immediately. We're losing a year. It's almost gone completely off the radar. Time is like so precious right now when it comes to this. And then you bring up a really good point, too, because I was thinking about this myself and we were talking. It was talked about quite a bit on the news down here. You have to make a really tough choice. So this was a very fast-moving, weak hurricane. If this was a big one, do you stay at home or do you go to a shelter? And we know what these shelters have looked like in the past couple of years.
Yeah, packed in like sardines.
Conditions. Yeah, exactly. And risk going and getting COVID-19. And then on top of that, really take a look at who traditionally goes to these shelters. It's the elderly. It's people with families. It's children. It's that high-risk population where you really don't have a whole lot of choices in regards to what you're doing. And we need to really be prepared. And like, so one thing that I do is I volunteer with Team Rubicon, which is an organization that does disaster relief, veterans deploy to areas that need immediate assistance. FEMA is not picking up the slack in regards to this. They should be the ones that are leading this. They should be the ones preparing for it. And what's happening is nonprofits and different organizations are doing it, but they're getting stretched so thin right now. You know, how many storms, how many tornadoes, how many earthquakes, how many fires can you fight before you run out of resources and you run out of manpower? Goes back to just preparation in regards to the government right now. Trump is not prepared for anything.
But here's the thing, and I go back to, you know, 2015 and 2016 and say, you know, we knew this. This isn't a surprise. So, you know, when we're not prepared and when we find out that, you know, Jared Kushner and was advising him, don't worry about the virus. It's just in those Democratic states. When this became more about politics than actual governance, I was nowhere near surprised because this is who they are.
Yeah. And it goes back to impacting a certain population. You have people that don't have a lot of money living in these low-lying areas. That's why the housing's so cheap there. And it goes and impacts like people that can't recover afterwards. It's really frustrating. It's really we need a really big change. And I know that like kind of like that goes back to like the whole entire Obama pitch that he had. But now so more than ever, it's like almost like we have to like almost wipe the slate clean and take a look at what we do as a nation and really make some drastic changes that aren't going to be comfortable. And I think that's the other problem that we have as far as Americans are concerned is we like to be comfortable. We don't like wearing masks. We don't like sorting or recycling. But you know what? We need to go and start doing that. And we need to become a world leader again in regards to like what we're doing because we're in the back of the pack now.
But, you know, even you know, beyond the recycling, and I know a lot of my environmental friends, say, oh, we need to recycle everything. We don't need to recycle. What we need to do is we need to stop it at the manufacturing point. Like bottled water to me is insane. Why the hell do we put water in plastic bottles? When I was a kid, there were drinking fountains everywhere. That was fine.
Yep. Or the packaging.
Exactly.
You can go and buy a thumb drive from like Best Buy and it has like, you know, 3 times the size of plastic that's surrounding it. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, it's just theft prevention, but you're killing the environment by doing that. And so it's making changes on a personal level. And I think we've been trying to do that at my house too. We've noticed that we take, you know, the trash comes every single week. The can actually only goes out every 2 weeks because we've been so careful about what we've been purchasing and how we go and look at our waste
right.
in regards to this. And there's huge, huge, bigger picture things too, as far as like renewable energy, that we can go and really take advantage of. And I wish we did more of that in North Carolina. Kind of bringing it back to my state, we produce solar energy. I think it's probably like the second or third in the country as far as comparing to other states. I know California and I think Arizona might be like one and two. But there's a great opportunity for us to go and make changes and going into what you always discuss, retraining people that might be in industries that are dying to go into a brand new area that is up and coming and can go and actually provide like, you know, a great job for someone else.
Yeah. No, yesterday we talked with Pedro DaCosta, economic reporter for Market News, and he had a great point. He said, you know, this is one of those moments where you have an opportunity to reimagine what the future looks like. We're in the middle of this horrible crisis. This is an opportunity to rethink, reimagine, reinvent, and to, you know, to do the things that, you know, maybe we didn't have the political will to do, you know, just a year ago, but now we've got a choice and we've got a chance. My mind is kind of in that vein right now.
Yeah, it's you look at FDR and you look at like what was happening right before and him jumping right into it, and it was not popular at the time. There was a lot of people that were giving him pushback in regards to it, and he almost said, you know, I don't care, we're doing this right now, and that changed the whole entire American landscape in regards to some of the things that we have that we take for granted because they didn't exist, like, you know, before our lifetime. Yeah, there's a great opportunity here. And I hope that, like, we can go and come together and actually go and do that, and we don't end up becoming the next failed empire. Yeah. And that's always my fear, is that, you know, empires come and go, and the American empire was around for a little bit, and I don't want us to go and lose what we have. I can feel it slipping through our fingers right now.
Yeah, it's a huge concern to me. Last thing I wanted to ask you about. I know you're a veteran. You're an outdoors guy. Today, Trump had the big presser, the signing ceremony, where he signed the Great American Outdoors Act, which is passed by in a bipartisan fashion. But he's kind of positioned himself now that, you know, he's the new Teddy Roosevelt, you know, because nobody's ever done anything like this. Passing this kind of legislation to protect our parks outside of him, Donald Trump, and Teddy Roosevelt now, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens, you know, right before an election. But yet the past 3 years, he's been doing everything he can to go and destroy the environment. So if you really are an outdoorsman and you really care about the environment, you want clean rivers and streams. What has he been doing? He's been slashing regulations in regards to that. The wildlands that we have that are untouched, you know, selling them off to oil companies, drilling, you know, we were talking about this a couple of years ago when he was basically like federal land. I think it was Utah and like a lot of like these historic places. We call them like national monuments, but they're actually nature themselves. He was basically selling off to the highest bidder.
Right.
This is just a joke. Like it's a way to go and try to get some quick votes from the Republicans that are more the more like outdoorsy Republicans. And we have a lot of them here in North Carolina.
Yeah, you're hunting fish crowd.
Yeah. And I'll be honest too, those are the ones that he's lost. And he's trying to win them back because a lot of them, you know, they do care about the environment. They actually probably care about the environment more than some Democrats, in all honesty. And they've seen what's been going on, and especially here in North Carolina. And it's very probably similar to what's happening up in Pennsylvania also. It's our land is just getting polluted by industry. And it breaks my heart because North Carolina is a beautiful, beautiful state. And we've seen coal ash dumped in our waters. We have forever chemicals poisoning our waters. It's just a tragedy. And then, you know, it's him taking advantage of the timing of the situation.
Yeah. I mean, here's the guy who deregulated most industries so that they could pollute at will. But this is him, you know, staking his ground on Teddy Roosevelt's legacy. And I guess, look, if you can get away with it. But lastly, before I let you go, should we beat him up for saying Yosemite wrong?
You know, and like, it takes, so my personal opinion when it comes to these little things, it takes away from the big picture. And maybe, you know what, the Yosemite, actually, I'll give it a pass, because it actually, this whole thing may have slipped underneath the radar if he didn't go and do that. And at least it's causing a little bit of discussion. But in reality, we need to go and kind of look at the policies. Because what happens is, if we kind of get into the name-calling, the, you know, the schoolyard kind of goofing around, it takes away from the bigger picture. And it just pushes someone that we may be able to go and get on our side a little bit further away from us.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect from this guy? Like, no, you can barely say anybody's names, or like, I wouldn't be surprised if he knew where he was half the time.
I wasn't going to beat up on him because I'm terrible with people's names. But at least I can say Yosemite. But the thing is, and this is where my frustration is, you know, he's taking credit for, you know, because look, we have backlogged, you know, maintenance on a lot of these national parks. And if you remember, and I know most people don't, but one of the Republican hostage situations during Sequester was part of the reason that our parks and everything is in the, mm-hmm. in the mess that it's in, and the disrepair that it's in, and the shutdowns that they had that caused all those problems. That's a big part of this too. But Ted, I appreciate the thoughts, the time, as always, great stuff. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to having you back again real soon.
Anytime, Rick. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Ted Corker. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at RedTRaccoon. Very popular Twitter commentator. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.